first reading is from Romans chapter...
Microphone. There.
First reading is from Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. There ends the first reading. The second reading is from Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Here ends the lesson.
Today's gospel is found in Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 31, the word of our Lord. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church, feel free. All right. Lord, your presence and your word, you surround us, Lord. We also ask that you would fill us, that we would feel your presence in a special way, Lord, and that you would speak to our hearts and our spirits, that we may come away changed, for the better, of course. Amen. Alrighty. Continuing on through Romans 12, it's a chapter that's basically instructions for Christian living. If you do what's in this chapter, you're living like a Christian. It's telling us, it's guiding us on how to live as a Christian. And that was Paul's intent. He's writing to these people in Rome, many or most of whom he had never met, and from a distance, bringing them together, creating unity, creating harmony, creating equality to mold and shape them into one, into a local congregation of the body of Christ. Again, we're part of a larger unit, right? We're just, you know, like one company within a battalion, within a division. I mean, we're a small unit here, but we're part of something bigger. And we have this unity that crosses geographical boundaries. It crosses time. It's just we're all part of the body of Christ. And what a cool thought. What a wonderful thought. I would love to go to different countries and just worship with brothers and sisters. Even in a country where I don't understand the language, where I can walk into that church in some place in remote Africa or South America and I don't speak their language at all, I bet you would feel the joy. I bet you would feel the presence of the Spirit as they're singing, and you could be, you know, singing, humming along with them or whatever. You don't need words, do you, to worship? You don't need words. But to feel that presence, because they're gathered this morning too, same as us, all around the world. Brothers and sisters, Christians out there, and we're a part of it. I can't wait to meet more of them someday. It's just wonderful. It's a wonderful thought. And when we all come together, we can blend together, we can come together, and that's where the harmony comes in, right? Harmony requires different notes. We're all different, but we can blend together. We can join together to create something that we cannot create by ourselves. You can't create harmony with one person. It takes more than one. And they have to blend together. They have to come together. They have to be united in purpose and talented, probably, to create harmony too, okay? That's not my gift, but some people have that. And when you get to listen to that, some of these groups that maybe just do a cappella, and they've got four or five members, and they just blend together in such a beautiful way. That's a picture of the way it ought to be with Christians. Blending together. Even if we don't know these other people, we have this one unity and common purpose here. So the reading for today in Romans, live in harmony with one another. Not just be in harmony, but live in harmony. Our lives in harmony. Our lives live together. Our lives blending, our gifts coming together to form something that we cannot individually. And that's what one of the reasons I love gathering with fellow Christians. We have a harmony. We're all different. Some are more different than others, right? Okay, we're all different. But we have this in common, and we can blend together using our gifts in proportion here to create something greater than ourselves. And when there's disharmony, you can hear that too. If you hear a discordant chord or something like that, it just sounds wrong. And one can bring down the others. We have to be there lifting others, supporting others, encouraging others, and teaching them to sing too, right? Okay, I'm not just talking singing in harmony. I'm talking living in harmony, teaching them to live, right? Yeah. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Remember that commercial from way back when? How about I'd love to teach the world to live in perfect harmony? That would be great. However, human nature gets in the way. At times we achieve that. We have people living in peace. We even have nations living in peace. But then human nature, you know, things like pride and greed and sin start to tear people apart, start to tear nations apart. And then there's disharmony. There's a lack of unity. And we see the effects of it in war and things like that. This is not what it's going to be like in heaven. In heaven, there is going to be perfect harmony. There's going to be perfect equality, and there's going to be perfect unity. Everybody together for one purpose, for one God. It's a beautiful picture of what it's going to be like. This reading here, live in harmony with another, do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position, do not be conceited. None of those conceit or pride or even higher or lower positions are going to exist in heaven. There will be equality. And that's just a beautiful thought. Again, all different, but all equal. And we're all equal before God. Is it the case that God loves some more than others? I would say not. He loves us all equally. He's willing to die for each and every one of us, even those that reject him. A lot of people rejecting him back then. A lot of people rejecting him today. Still loves him. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that they should turn to him, turn away from the evil and turn to him. We've all done that here. Now, we got the little turning problem again, too, where we, you know, start getting tempted. We start looking, okay. And, we got to keep our focus on God, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else is going to fall into place. We have to have our priorities, God first. Alrighty, the second part of that, you'll live in harmony, absolutely. That is a goal, and as much as possible, as they're going to hear in the future here, to live with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Don't go thinking you're better than anybody else. Alrighty, you see that throughout society, you have the different strata of socioeconomic status. You got like these fancy people, nobility, and do they really associate with the commoners? You know, back in medieval times, think that you had the nobility and you had the commoners. They didn't intermarry. They didn't really associate. Do traces of that still exist today? Yeah, absolutely. You got some people that are looked down upon. We should not look down upon anyone. We should not look down upon anyone. We are all equal in God's eyes. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Well, who defines what's low position? Who decides that anyway? Does it vary by society? Is it a universal thing? The socioeconomic status, well, we're not going to really associate with them. And I can understand that to an extent as well. You know, raising kids, how many of you told them you shouldn't hang out with that person or that child or something? How many of you were told that by your parents? You shouldn't be hanging out by them. Was there sometimes a good reason for that? Yeah. Okay, because they're going to lead you astray and into bad things. Sometimes there is a reason. But we should be willing to associate with people, to come alongside them, to help them, and to receive help from them. Sometimes receiving that help, it gives someone else a chance to serve, and they just feel good about themselves just because they had a chance to serve. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to come together. Again, that togetherness. That socioeconomic status, again, where you got, you know, the high class and the low class, is that going to exist in heaven? No, it's not. it's not going to exist in heaven. So we should be practicing for heaven while we're here on earth. We should be practicing for that. As believers, if you're a believer, if you have received and believe, you are going to spend eternity with God. If you're not, well, hey, stick around afterwards. I'll be happy to explain a few things to you. Alrighty. Or else, those of you watching online or something, call in, stop by, email, whatever. If you're not sure about your faith, any Christian should be happy to help you with that, to state what we believe and to build you up in your faith, to help you along. But again, the different strata and stuff will not exist in heaven. We're all going to be equal. And even here, we're all equal in God's eyes. Doesn't matter who you are. We're all the same. So again, let's practice for heaven. Again, you don't want to get your kids get dragged down by some behaviors and stuff. You know, bad company corrupts good character, as it says in the Bible. And very true, it can. But let us seek to lift others up. Let us seek to serve others, to come alongside, to be there with each other and to be there for each other. So, and by doing so, we can add more notes to the harmony, can't we? There's room for more notes in this chord. There's room for more notes. There's other people that can be brought in. So don't be afraid to associate with people of low position, and don't think of them as lower either. Don't get in that mindset. Think of them as people. Yeah, I like that. Think of them as people. Not as higher, not as lower, but as people. Equal. Finally, do not be conceited. Again, don't start to think higher of yourself than you ought to, right? Some people got that going on, and we all do at times, I suppose. You know, the pride and conceit, they're basically synonymous. They go hand in hand. They're a big part of it. And you've known some people that it's hard to get through to them because you can't tell anything to someone who knows it all, right? They're so conceited, they already know it all. They're not even going to listen. How do you get through to them with the gospel? I suppose with love. That's a universal language that doesn't require words. A universal language that doesn't require words. That's sort of a paradoxical statement, but it's really cool and it's really true. Love can be seen in all languages. Doing an act of kindness for someone, that's universal. That can be understood by anyone, anywhere. Stooping down to help someone, that speaks in all languages. I love it. So let us be gentle and humble of heart, you know, following Jesus' example. And to have equality, to strive for equality, and again, Paul's really driving this home to the Romans, because if you think about what was happening there, there's this congregation of people. It involved free people, it involved slaves, it involved males, it involved females, it involved Gentiles, it involved Jews. It involved those who were mature in their faith and those that were just beginning in their faith. But again, they were all equals and had to be treated as such. To bring them together, this theme runs throughout Romans, actually. You're going to see it because he's trying to bring these people together as one. And in chapter 15, we had seen that today. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. Unity. A spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. A spirit of unity, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To come together with one heart, with one mouth. That's worship, right? We're coming together. That song we had sang this morning, we had one voice to one God for one cause, that all may know your love. Let us join together in one voice. Harmonious, right? Joining together in one voice. To one God, of course, for one cause, to worship Him. And that's what Paul lays out here. Spirit of unity, coming together, that togetherness, so that with one heart, one mouth, you may glorify, you may praise, worship, right? Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That worship can sync us. It can synchronize. It can bring us together. Worship can do that. As we're singing together, as we're worshiping together, as we're praising together, we become that one. There is unity. It's a beautiful thing. Again, it's a preview of heaven. Because someday, we're going to be there as one. With angels and heavenly beings and cherubim and seraphim and our resurrection bodies all joining together as one to worship one God. I can't wait. It's going to be great, okay? there's some things I'm going to miss about earth, like deer hunting and stuff like that, if that doesn't exist in heaven. But, maybe God's got a plan for that too. Supposedly he's got something even better. Can you imagine that? Even better. Yes. Okay. And it goes on and on for eternity. Wow. This preview of heaven, this preview that we're given. And he continues, not only are we going to be together, but that's going to require equality. Verse 7, accept one another. Accept one another. Accept them in their faults. Accept them in their strengths. Accept them in their weaknesses. Again, we're all different, but we're all equal. Unity requires acceptance. And how good are we at that? Get asked that on an individual level. How accepting are we of others? Are we willing to associate with people of lower position, as I said earlier in 12? How are we doing on that? Do we see everybody as equal? And more importantly, do we treat everyone as equal? Not only as individuals, but also as a group, as a congregation. We have to be accepting of everybody. So anybody that walks through that door, I don't care how many tattoos, how many piercings, how many whatevers. Are we going to treat them as an equal? Yes. Are we going to love them? Absolutely. Are we better than anybody else? No. We're not. When someone walks into this place, they should just feel the presence and they should feel welcome. You belong here. You are an equal. You are one of us. You are with us. And you're welcome to join us. Absolutely. Anytime you see someone you don't know here, make an extra effort to make them feel welcome, to make them feel accepted, because they are. So accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. He accepted us with all our faults. He accepts us. He knows everything about us. Everything. And still accepts us. Wow. That's God. So accept one another then as just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Again, it's all about God. No one's higher, no one's lower. And that's what we heard in the gospel today as well. Jesus himself speaking the same theme. Jesus went out, saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Okay, tax collectors, of course, very corrupt at that time. I'm sure you had to pay bribes to get that position to the higher order tax collectors, the chief tax collectors. So you pay for this position. And then how do you make your money? Excess. Someone owes 10%. Well, you charge them 12% and you keep the other 2%, right? All right, probably connections with other people, probably a lot of under-the-table dealings. Tax collectors were not honest. There might have been a few, but I rather doubt it. Okay, and everybody knew it. You did not associate with tax collectors. These are the ones that had sold out to the Romans, right? You were one of us, you were a Jew, but you sold out to the enemy. You are a traitor. That's the way they were seen. And the love of money is what drove them. The root of all evil, remember, is the love of money. These people had that love of money going on. Jesus sees them and says two words, follow me. Okay, I've got this thriving business. I'm making lots of money that I love. And this guy says, follow me. What happens? Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Didn't say, oh, let me get my stuff. Let me get in my change box and all this stuff. No, just left it. He found something more important. God got through to his heart. He saw something in Jesus. He knew something in Jesus. Something in the spirit there that spoke to him. And he left behind everything that he had. Also left behind a lot of the corruption. Still human, still going to sin, but leaving the old way of life to follow Jesus. For some of us, it might be greed. For some of us, it might have been alcohol. For some of us, it might have been gambling. For some, it might have been pornography, whatever. We leave that old things behind, and we follow him. Yeah, we're still going to sin at times, the oopsies, the accidental things, but we're no longer living intentionally against the word of God. We're no longer in that lifestyle. And that's what's happening here with Levi. Alrighty. And Levi, later called Matthew, of course. So Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. Okay, we're talking socioeconomic stratus again. These were some of the rich people, but they were looked down upon. There's sort of a disparity there. They're very rich, but they were looked down upon by their fellow Jews. They had sold out. People would not associate with them. You would not let your kids play with their kids. You would definitely not go to the same banquet or party with them. You would not want to be seen with them. Jesus was willing to be seen with them. He's willing to go to the same banquet with them, because to him, all are equal. To God, again, we are all equal. He didn't look down on them, and we shouldn't either. There's no one out there who is not worthy of our time and attention. No one out there that's not worthy of our time and attention. We're no better than anyone else. We got to remember that. Treat others as equals because they are equals. We're all equal in God's sight. And create an environment where we can be united, where we can have equality and live in harmony. Again, it's that preview of heaven, that unity, equality, and harmony, a preview of what is to come. If we can create a little bit of heaven here on earth, how cool is that? Creating a little bit of heaven here on earth. Other people are going to see it. Wow, if I hang out with those people, I can be one of them. I can be accepted. And yeah, absolutely. Come on in. We are here, and God is here. But he was not popular with others as a result. The Pharisees, who thought they were high and mighty, better than everybody else, they look at him, why would you associate with tax collectors and sinners? Why do you eat and drink with them? And Jesus had an answer. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Alrighty, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. Anybody here that healthy that you don't need a doctor? Spiritually talking? Are we there yet? No. We get closer. We can get closer and closer. As we draw closer to God, our living is going to change, the way we live. The way we talk, the way we act, the things we do, it's going to change, become more like him, more like him. But we still need the doctor. There's not a one of us who is there yet. Also, there's not one of us that's better than anyone else. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Any righteousness we can't claim on our own. We didn't earn it. We can't earn it. We can only claim the righteousness brought by Jesus. That's it. That's all we can do, because he made us righteous. We cannot live a perfect life. We cannot be sin-free as hard as we try. But Jesus was, and Jesus is. Again, we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and this is something we have in common. Another thing we have in common, right? That we all need a Savior. So let us build on our commonalities. Let us strive for unity, equality, and harmony, to be welcoming to others, to live together as Christians, as brothers and sisters, side by side, worshiping God and living our lives in a way that worships him as well. It's sort of preparation for heaven and a way to create a little heaven on earth. Amen.